Penguin Random House Audio presents Lucy on the Wild Side by Carrie Ray. Read for you by Emily Lawrence. To Chris, for holding my hand through all of it. And to Finn, our wildest dream come true. Chapter 1. I wish I were a Humboldt squid. Everyone thinks chameleons are the best camouflagers, but a Humboldt squid can change its colors as fast as 4 times a second. If I could do that, I'd transform myself into the rain cloud gray shade of my office walls. That way, Elle wouldn't be able to find me and remind me of my 4 p.m. assignment. But I'm not a squid. And I jump when my office door bangs open. Lucy! My best friend Elle pops her head inside the doorway, a mass of black curls framing her face. You cannot hide from the children! I sigh and shut my laptop, where I've been updating the daily feeding log. The gorillas ate their regular afternoon snack of popcorn, cereal, and sunflower seeds, with peanuts added in as an extra treat. As a keeper, part of my job is maintaining detailed records of the gorilla's dietary intake, social interactions, sleep habits, and vital signs. I've got at least an hour of data entry left today, but that will have to wait. I don't want Elle to kill me. I know you hate doing the critter chats, but they're important. I've got 26 second graders out there who can't wait to learn about primates. She says, sticking her neck farther into my shoebox-sized office. It's so tiny that between my cluttered desk and stuffed mini-fridge, I can't lean more than 3 inches back in my chair without smacking my head against the door. Elle has no chance of getting in. Did you say 26? I ask in disbelief. That's a fuck ton of kids. When she raises an eyebrow at me, I grab a fresh can of Diet Coke from the mini-fridge and pop the tab open. I'm going to need a serious caffeine fix to make it through the next half hour. And it's not that I hate the critter chats, I continue, letting the cold deliciousness of my drink soothe me. It's that I hate the 4 o'clock critter chats. 3 times a day, 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and the dreaded 4 p.m., a zookeeper from the primates department hosts an educational Q&A in front of the outdoor gorilla exhibit. I enjoy the chats most of the time, since they're a great way to share my passion for gorillas with the public. During the morning and early afternoon sessions, the kids who attend are in cheery, inquisitive moods. It's early enough in the day that the zoo is still fun for them, and they've got a day full of camel rides and ice cream flamingo pops to look forward to. But by late afternoon, the excitement and sugar highs have faded, and the exhausted children have sunk into cranky moods. If they're little, they've gone all day without their usual naps. And if they're teenagers, it's late enough in the day that their phone batteries are dead, and they have to suffer through the oppressive June heat without access to TikTok. It's not a great situation. I know they can be challenging, but you're the only primate keeper available today. Jack's assisting over in Asia Quest, and Lottie has to go to her grandmother's funeral. Plus, it'll get you extra brownie points from Phil. I clear my throat. It's Lottie's grandmother's cat's funeral, I clarify, narrowing my eyes at Elle. And I bet she could make it back in time. Elle's dark brown eyes flicker with exasperation. You know, I don't assign keepers, Luce. I just make sure that somebody's out there to educate the children. She's laying it on a little thick with that whole educate the children line. But she's not wrong. As an associate activities director, Elle's responsible for coordinating events for the public, including zoo camp, the painting with penguins fundraiser sessions, and critter chats. If I refuse to be a good sport, I'll be making her job harder. And because we've been best friends since the first day of zoo teen volunteer orientation 14 years ago, that's not an option for me. Plus, she has a point about my boss, Phil. He's looking to promote a junior primate keeper to senior sometime this year, and I want that job more than anything. Okay, okay, I relent, standing up from my chair to stretch my legs. At 5'9", I tower over L's 5'1 frame, and I bounce on my heels to increase blood flow to my long limbs. Just tell me, this second grade class, are there any girls with flower names? You know, Tulip, Rose, Iris? Because girls with flower names always give me the hardest time, along with boys with bougie names like Brantley or Oakley or Banks. I'm not pulling those names out of thin air. Last week, a 5-year-old named Tulip tried to stick gum in my hair, and a 6-year-old Banks screamed at me when I explained to him that gorillas aren't monkeys. I've learned to maintain a 10-foot distance between myself and the children at the afternoon critter chats, lest any of them have a tantrum and decide to fling a Capri Sun at my head. Elle scrunches her nose. Who names a kid Tulip? Anyway, it's almost 4, so let's go, please. And if the kids get too rowdy, just tell them that filming starts next week. So if they come to the zoo again over the summer, there's a chance they'll get to be on TV. Kids love TV. Kids love launching full juice boxes at innocent zookeepers' heads more than they like TV, in my experience. But I don't argue. Elle's mention of filming inspires a flutter of excitement in my stomach. Next week, the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium will be the site of a months-long documentary project produced by wildlife expert Kai Bridges, host of On the Wild Side with Kai Bridges. Wildside has taken viewers like me. I've seen every episode, including the famous one about the last grizzly bear in a small Montana county, from the ice shelves of Antarctica to the volcanoes of Hawaii, showcasing animals in every biome. Now, his production company wants to show audiences the magic of wildlife right in their own backyards, starting with our zoo. I'm so excited about the docuseries that not even the memory of Tulip and her aggressive bubblegum antics can lessen my enthusiasm. I'd rather die than be on camera. My fellow keepers Lottie and Jack can have that glory to themselves, but I'm looking forward to meeting Kai. He's the son of famed primatologist Dr. Charlotte Kimber, who's half the reason I'm a gorilla keeper, and meeting her offspring is probably the closest I'll ever get to meeting my idol herself. Plus, at least on TV, Kai looks like Tom Hardy's twin. If said twin wore a Crocodile Dundee hat and said, "Wowza," in a South African accent every time an apex predator appeared. The docuseries will put our zoo on the map, and my heart skips a beat when I imagine people all over the world getting to know the gorillas I've dedicated my career to. But first, I have to survive the critter chat. All right, let's go, I say, taking another swig of Diet Coke and surrendering to the inevitable. But I swear to God, if any second graders launch spit wads at me, I can't promise not to retaliate. Elle shakes her head, but smiles as I follow her out of my office and through the administrative section of Ape House. She loves kids, which is a good thing, since she and her husband Nadim are expecting their first baby in 6 months. Come on. She lifts her employee ID to grant us access to the hallway leading toward the gorillas. And while I have you, don't forget about that benefit picnic this weekend. You don't have to wear a dress, but you cannot wear your work uniform. I sigh. Like the critter chats, attending zoo fundraising events is part of my job, but I don't enjoy it. It's the actual work part of my career that comes easily to me. Building relationships with the animals, researching advances in gorilla care, keeping impeccable records of every aspect of their lives so that conservationists can use the data to bolster outcomes for gorillas in the wild. But making agonizing small talk and eating tiny appetizers at a rich donor's house doesn't appeal to me. I'd much rather be knee-deep in hay getting real work done. What's the picnic for? I ask, trying not to let my annoyance show. It's not Elle's fault that zoos, like other nonprofits.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?